Old Forester bourbon has been around for over 150 years. People have enjoyed it in zoot suits, bell-bottom jeans, and parachute pants. It's been described across generations as the bee's knees, far outs, and even fire. Simply put, it's a bourbon that never gets old. Learn more at oldforester.com. Old Forester bourbon never gets old. Please drink responsibly. Old Forester straight bourbon whiskey, 45% ABV. Old Forester Distilling Company, Louisville, Kentucky. Old Forester is a registered trademark, copyright 2022.
This hour brought to you by NJ Diet. NJ Diet contractually guarantees that you'll lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Go to njdiet.com or call 855-5-NJ-DIET.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Barstool Big Cat. Host of Pardon My Take. And voluminous tweeter at Barstool Big Cat. It's time for his weekly conversation with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Now in the street there is violence.
Barstool Big Cat every Tuesday, 4 o'clock, brought to you by our great friends at the Curcio Law Offices. RJ Curcio, the official lawyer of the Waddle and Sylvie Show, and Barstool Big Cat. Let's talk to Big Cat right now. Are you back in the lab trying to get those bets right for this upcoming week?
I am. I got to get back in the lab. It was a hectic 5 days of college football. I survived. I had 49 plays, and I survived.
What was your record?
22-26-1. We'll
okay,
take
that's
it.
Not that bad.
Yeah,
we'll did you have the over in the Iowa game?
I did not. That game, oh, my God.
That set college football back decades.
That was, I had to turn it on because I was like, I have to watch what's going on right now. Like, when I saw it was 5-3, that game wasn't even on my radar, and I had to watch the entire, you know, fourth quarter because I was like, are they just going to keep getting safeties? What's going on here? So, yeah, that was a tough one. That was a tough one to watch.
From an entertainment standpoint, how much fun was the last, like, what, 5 minutes of the LSU game?
Oh, incredible. I had the over in that game, so that was just heartbreaking.
Oh, my gosh.
It was one of those moments where I was, you know, in my apartment. Everyone had been asleep for 2 hours in my house, and I was just, I let out a scream and, like, had to check myself being like, oh, you better not have woken up anyone. But it was, I mean, that game was just so chaotic. It started so slow, and then it picked up, and it's just like, that's what college football is, just chaos and people making mistakes and the fumble, the muff punt, and then the fumble on the goal line. Like, you only get that in college football.
How on the list of all-time bad beats, where does that one fit in your top 10, maybe top 5? Where does it fall?
No, because I'm a realist when it comes to bad beats. I think people, you know, now that, you know, gambling is legalized a lot of places, people throw a bad beat label on just a game they lose. And I'm old school in the fact that it has to be a truly bad beat. I had no business being in that game okay. for the over. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that would have been a bad beat to the under with how everything went. So I wouldn't characterize it as a bad beat. It was just more like a good old-fashioned gut punch.
I think I saw this on either Barstool's website or, pardon my take, in a tweet, that I think Brian Polian, Bill Polian's son, was the only coach to go with Brian Kelly to LSU, and he's their special teams coordinator.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. And Brian Kelly, I don't know if you guys saw afterwards, he's a really detestable guy. Like, I don't know who, I would love to find out, like, if there's any, like, Brian Kelly fans, do you know what I mean? Because the college coaches, you can see, like, there's guys, different guys in the college coaching world where it's like, oh, I don't root for that team, but I like that guy. Like, Sam Pittman in Arkansas. I like that guy. Coach O, I liked him. But Brian Kelly, like, no one can be a fan of Brian Kelly. His whole own family can't be a fan of him. But he afterwards was like, yeah, it was our mistake. We had 4 weeks of practice. We thought he was, like, good, but he's clearly not. Like, completely threw this kid under the bus in a roundabout way. And it was just like, Jesus, man. You've been there for, like, 3 months, and you're already doing this to this kid? So, yeah, That made me feel a little bit better that, like, even though I lost the over, I was happy that Brian Kelly caught that L.
The color of his face matched the purple in his polo shirt at the end of that game.
And it was just like, the one thing you could say about Brian Kelly is his teams are usually pretty buttoned up and don't, you know, the self-inflicted wounds. And it's very, it's ironic because that was the criticism of Coach O in his last couple of years, that they were sloppy and they made these mistakes, these tragic mistakes. And it was like, when you have a special teams performance like that, you can't blame anyone but really the head coach, because like that part of the game, like making those self-inflicted wounds, it's such a killer.
I have a few choices I want you guys to make, because this came up all weekend. So first of all, since we're on this topic, going for two. Was that all on Brian Kelly? Does Brian Kelly have to go for two in that scenario? You've played a bad game. Your special teams have struggled. You have them on the ropes. You just went 99 yards. Do you go one play and go for the win in that moment?
I don't have a problem with them kicking the extra point. You could argue that the momentum was now on their side and they would carry that momentum into overtime. I don't have any problem.
I don't have a problem with it either, just because in college football, you know you have a chance with the ball. So it's like, why not, you know, go to play in the overtime? So I think that's one of those things that if he had gone for two, people, like, and he misses it, people blame. You really can't, like, when you go for two in that situation, you can kind of spin it whichever way you want. So, but I have no problem playing for overtime there.
Feinbaum ripped him. Feinbaum really ripped him. Said, you must go for two there.
That's not a must go for two.
I agree with Big Cat. In the NCAA, you're going to get a possession. So.
Right, and a must-go for two, in my mind, is like an underdog on the road. We got to finish this right now. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't that was a home game for LSU. I know there was a lot of Florida State fans there, but like, and they were favorites. I don't see that as like a must-go for two.
All right, I got two baseball ones. Since we're on like sort of like, what do you do here? We just discussed this in Waddle's World. As a Cubs fan, Big Cat, do you have an issue with the Cubs pitching to Albert Pujols as he hit his in his final at bat? Because I had no problem with it. His final at bat, he homered against the Cubs.
Yeah, I have a problem with it. They should just throw the ball in the dirt. They should automatically walk him. I hate the guy. So what? Of course I have a problem with it.
So you would not have pitched to Pujols. You're not going to.
No. Why? Why pitch to him? Why even get him closer? I hate him.
Well, there's no guarantee he's going to hit a home run. Maybe you're teaching your young pitchers how to, you know,
carry the momentum to next year. Yeah. Strike him out.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah,
and it's just a question. It's just a question. Is it weird that Albert Pujols was like batting 180 before the All-Star break, and now he's got like the highest batting average in MLB post All-Star break? Is that weird? At 42,
it does seem weird. Like, I don't know what you're getting. Like.
I'm just asking a question.
Well, I mean, I never would have expected it. Do you believe, like, he got the good stuff at the All-Star game or something?
Sure, why not? I mean, makes sense, right? Like, you think MLB, my thing with all the drug testing and everything, you think that MLB, like, when Peyton Manning had his whole thing, where he's like, oh, no, it was my wife's, all this stuff. Do you think if MLB got a positive drug test for Albert Pujols across their desk, do you think they'd suspend him? No chance. Zero chance. It's the same thing, like, I always say with, like, I don't think Brady did PEDs, but do you think the NFL would do anything if they got no chance? There are certain.
Well, they tried to suspend
people.
Him. They tried to suspend him over, like, air in a football, though. You know that better than anyone.
I mean, Dave went to jail for it. Right. Hank, my producer, went to jail for it. I mean, they made it basically part of my everyday existence for, like, three straight years. But, I'm just asking the question. If MLB got a positive test from Albert Pujols, do you think they'd do anything about it? I don't think so.
At this point, listen, they got a positive test for Tatis, and they made that one. You know, and he was out already, though. Well, I get it, but he's one of the brightest young guys in the game. Like, you know, you're trying to market the sports. He's one of the best young players, and now you got a bunch. You know how the old baseball fans are going to be now. I can't be a fan of that guy because he's a cheater.
Right. Well.
I don't like what you're doing, Waddle, because what I'm trying to do is say that Albert Pujols has done steroids this year, and I'm going to connect it on the loosest based information
and just
throw it at the wall and hope it sticks.
Okay, I got another question for you with regard to Pujols, because I think Sylvia and I don't agree on this. Let's say he ends the season at 699. Does he come back next year to get to the 700 club?
I mean, he has to, right?
That's what I think.
I don't. That's like getting the fake rebound at the end of a triple-double. Like, yeah, I mean, what have you really achieved?
Not really.
Yes, it is.
No, what do you mean fake rebound at the end?
The gimme home run at the end. Wait,
do you know how many guys have had double-doubles? There's only three other guys that have 700 home runs in Major League Baseball history.
I get it, but it's like... You're not coming back. You're only in the game
for one reason. That's right. To join the 700 club.
Well, I always thought I always thought that obviously he's going to retire this year. But let's say he's at 699. Maybe the Cardinals are we're moving on because you can't do steroids every year, Albert. but a Pirates. Why wouldn't the Pirates be like, hey, come hit your 700th home run with us, sell tickets. Do you know what I mean?
Well, a Sox fan has already tweeted me saying it'd be perfect for the White Sox to sign him. They sell some tickets. And you know Jerry or Kenny. They just signed La Russa.
They play him every day. They play him every day, probably at shortstop.
They don't need another DH, but they're like, we're in for Pujols.
Yeah. It's so cruel, by the way, what the White Sox are doing to their fan base right now, giving them that hope again. The fact that they're playing, they've had this little stretch where it's like, oh, this is the team. It's so mean. It is.
I have two questions for you. The first one is 137 people were cited for underage drinking at a Wisconsin bar last Thursday.
Mm. Yeah.
Police checked the IDs of 143 people at a bar in Madison. Only six were of age.
Wow. What bar?
That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah. They did not name the bar, but noted that it was located within the 600 block of Main Street. Do you have a good guess?
I would say it was either Mondays or maybe the KK, but they used to do that even when I was in school 20 years ago. I'm so old now, but it was like the cops would basically shut the front door and they would turn on the lights and they would just go throughout the entire bar. I actually gave a cop a fake ID once and it passed, which was incredible.
Really? I told
all-time thrilling move.
Like, so are you saying that they would turn the lights on so you would know to put your drink down?
No, they would walk in the bar because obviously you have to be 21 to be in the bar.
Okay, it's 21.
And they would just, and they would just close the front door and just be like, everyone stay where you are. Let's check all the IDs.
Wow.
And they would do it. It's actually perfect because it's showing the times don't change. They would do it right about now, which is like welcome week when all the kids are back on campus.
Yeah. My daughter
scare everyone. And then they wouldn't do it again. You know what I mean? They would scare everyone to not go into a bar with a fake ID and then they wouldn't. They'd stop doing it.
Yeah, you got to be smarter than that. I told my daughter that. She got her ID taken the first night in downtown Boston. I was like, they know that it's check-in weekend. Come on, you're smarter than that. You're the fourth of four. You've got veterans in front of you. You know better.
How about being one of the six people that is over 21 at that bar?
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm Tom. I'm 48.
I'm the old guy.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for them.
Now for this story, I think the most important story of the entire weekend. Larsa Pippen was seen with Michael Jordan's son. Sylvie believes strongly, I don't want to speak for you, but I think you believe strongly that this is Michael trying to get back at Scottie for the book that Scottie went on tour.
Michael never forgets. You know when someone tried to talk trash to him, he would come back and go scorched earth on you. I believe this is Wonder Twin Powers activate. Larsa hates Scottie. Michael now hates Scottie. They've united together to come up with some crazy scenario where Michael's son is with Larsa and they want all the paparazzi to take pictures just to drive Scottie crazy.
That's cold.
I'm 100% on your side. There are no coincidences. Did I tell you guys a story when I was out in L.A. for the Super Bowl last year?
No. Nope.
I ended up at a bar with Larsa Pippen and Antonio Brown showed up. It was a restaurant.
Right.
And they just started smoking weed in the restaurant. And Antonio Brown has a joint roller that he brings with him everywhere. And she came over and was like, you guys want to smoke? We're like, sure. So
wait a second. He brings someone with him wherever he goes. Specifically, their job is to roll joints.
Yes. She came up to our table and she's like, hey, I'm rolling a joint for them. I roll joints for Antonio. Do you want one? And we're like, yeah, sure. And so we just sat. It was just our table and their table. It was like 2 a.m. And so I guess I smoked Antonio Brown's weed with Larsa Pippen, sort of.
Yes. We're there.
At Michael Jordan's direction.
Yeah, exactly.
What does the conversation go like when Big Cat's with Larsa Pippen and Antonio Brown during Super Bowl week?
Intoxicated.
Well, yeah.
We weren't sitting at the same table. They were sitting at the table next to us. The connector was the joint roller who came up and was like, hey, do you guys mind if we smoke weed? And I think it was either me or someone else was like, yeah, that's fine, but you got to give us some, too.
Big Cat, what was it that convinced you that this was going to be okay and that you weren't going to get yourself involved in something? Was it the stable Antonio Brown that you looked at and said, hey, there's Antonio Brown's weed guy?
Actually, it was a woman, so let's not...
Weed person.
This is like the doctor is the mother.
Okay.
The blunt roller can also be a woman.
Yes, it's true.
Fine. My bad.
But, if you're asking me what I was thinking, if it was going to be, like, I wasn't thinking at all.
Okay, good point.
I was just like,
wanted to know.
Cool.
If you saw Antonio Brown, go, oh, okay, it must be fine, because he's completely and totally got his act together. His joint roller handing me, something to smoke, it's good.
Yeah, but on the flip side, all right, so it's legal in California, and also, how funny would that be if something did happen and I got arrested with Larsa Pippen and Antonio Brown? That's something that, I would just brag about forever.
Yes, that's something to hang your hat on right there.
You should have just started breaking glasses and making a scene just so you could get arrested.
Listen, I've long passed the point in my life where I'm going to, ever need a resume again, so, that would just be a good story.
Wow, that's true.
That would just be like content. You know what I mean? Like, who cares?
You are the content king. That's for sure. All right. So, Bears this weekend, your feeling on that? Then I want to ask you about the stadium renderings.
Yeah, the big marshmallow. What is that? What is that? I was looking at it over and over, and I was like, wait, is that the stadium?
Yeah.
The thing that looks like a dishwasher detergent pod? What is it?
Just a preliminary sketch. Don't get over
it.
Yeah, don't get too, bought in on it.
It's almost like it should have just said, they should have just had a blank thing where and it typed up, stadium goes here, basically.
Yeah, right. Put stadium here because the whole area looks awesome, but I couldn't figure out how that's the stadium. I hope that's not what the final is, and I also hope that it isn't, because I did notice as well, I read the whole statement, that it was indoor, not retractable, which I think we all agree we'd like to have retractable so that they can play outdoor football in September, October, even parts of November. But, I've always been in for them to move to Arlington Heights. I think it would be awesome. But as for this weekend, I am officially in on the Bears this weekend +7. I knew it was going to happen. We talked about it all summer, how this team's not going to be good, and all I needed was to get to the week of the game and to be like, yeah, you know what? 7's a lot of points. They'll be okay.
Is this a lock, or is this just a little sprinkle? Is it a sprinkle? Because as you've told us, what's the word did you use? They're going to be
frisky.
They're going to be frisky. A frisky team.
Yeah, they're going to be frisky. I also had a heart drop moment. I'm sure you guys know this. But I was just looking ahead at the schedule. I had forgotten that week 2 is Sunday Night Football. And so now I have to, get myself mentally prepared for what's going to happen there, which is not going to be pretty.
I know. You've always raged against that nationally televised game.
It's just going to be, just jokes about the Bears for 4 hours. And Aaron Rodgers is going to just stun on everyone. And it's just going to be... It's going to be horrendous.
Unless he's in jail.
Unless he's in jail. I hope they're frisky this weekend because it would be bad. I think we all are sitting here right now thinking that the Bears are going to start 0-2. I just don't want it to be 0-2 blowout both games. You know what I mean? They got to – and I think the 49ers game against Trey Lance, that's the game that they have the better chance of winning. So – I'm going to take the 7. I am. I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid.
I know I don't want to look past this game because I do. I'm with you. I think they're going to be frisky. I think they're going to keep this game close. The final margin, we'll see if they do cover. I think it will be a winnable game for most of the day. But I just am confused. I don't know how good you guys think the Packers are going to be. Are the Packers going to be a team that could still put up,
well, I think,
28 to 31 points?
I think the Packers are going to be, A, a top five defense, and B,
yeah,
I mean, their offensive line is Bakhtiari's back. They're going to run the ball at you. So, I think it's a team. I trust that they may not be as explosive, Big Cat, but I still trust that their coach will find a way to put 25 a week on the board.
I and the worst part about this Packers team is I actually think they're built to win a Super Bowl, because I think their defense is going to be elite, and they're going to be a defensive team first. And oh yeah, they have the MVP, who's their quarterback, who just has to do enough. So I'm dreading it. Like, I like when the Packers offense is awesome and their defense is just a joke, because you know, come January, it's going to fall apart. I don't feel that way this year, so I'm very worried.
All right, Big Cat, any other plays that you want to throw our way?
I just love all the dogs this weekend. I know that's crazy, but I was looking at it, like, there's a lot of games that I just, even the bad teams, like, I think the Giants are, like, 5.5, and I think the Cardinals at home, 4.5. But I will say that if you don't bet the over on Thursday Night Football, Rams-Bills, you're a scumbag. So scumbag. I'm just going to say that right away.
Scumbag, total
like,
scumbag.
You just, you're not an American, you're a scumbag, and I don't want to know you. I'm so excited for that game. It probably won't go over, because that always happens to me, but, man, that's going to be, if that game lives up to the hype and it's a shootout like we're hoping, it's going to be so much fun to kick off the season.
And lastly, saw a ton of shirtless pictures of Coach O. What's Coach O doing these days?
I think he's just living his best life. We were actually joking today. Like, I think Brian Kelly's buyout is like $85 million. What if Coach O just bought him out? Because I think he's got a lot of money. He's got paid a lot of money.
Fantastic. That'd be great. Yeah, that would be. Great stuff, Big Cat. We appreciate it.
All right, see you guys. Thanks.
There you go. Barstow Big Cat every Tuesday. Good stuff, as always. He's brought to you by RJ Curcio and the Curcio Law Offices. Check them out, especially if there's a case you got to win. You got to talk to a lawyer. Talk to our guy, RJ Curcio. The good, the bad, the dirty coming up. It was a very eventful long weekend. We'll get to all of it coming up next.
Do you like delicious beer and championship golf? Of course you do. And that's why you should join Seven Bridges Golf Club for their annual Oktoberfest Golf Classic. Thursday, September 29th, a four-person scratch scramble. The event features Oktoberfest-style lunch, 18 holes of unparalleled golf, two drink tickets, tasting from local breweries, specialty cocktails, hole contests, prizes, awards, and a post-round pig roast. To sign up a team, go to sevenbridgesgolfclub.com or call them at 630-964-7777 for more details.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN 1000, inside the old National Bank studio. I want to remind everybody that Friday, this is Tuesday. Remember, we got the quick week.
Yeah, you are correct. This is Tuesday.
I love that. I love the knowing that, hey, not only does the football season start Thursday, but
it's already, have to work 4 days.
Yeah, it's only Tuesday. Yeah. It's already Tuesday. It's great. It's one of the best weeks of the year. And Friday, we're going to be out at Binney's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park. That's the one off of North Avenue on
Marcy Street.
Marcy Street. And we will have Bears Niners tickets to give away.
Going to be a giant pizza truck outside?
Yeah, Connie's Frozen Pizza Truck will be there offering you free samples of Connie's Frozen Pizza. And they've been awesome to us. They've done this for the last few broadcasts at Binney's Beverage Depot. The last time we were at Binney's Beverage Depot since the pandemic was the first time we were in the tasting room.
Yes.
And it felt so good to be back there. It's a beautiful room, a huge area, huge cash bar, television in there, a lot of seating. They've got like couches and lazy boys, plenty of room to come on over, grab a drink with us. A lot of people have said, well, a liquor store, why are you going to the liquor store? Like, this is more, much more than just a liquor store. This is Binney's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park. And you're going to love it. So Bears tickets courtesy of Miller Lite to give away to one of our winners. And the Connie's Frozen Pizza Truck, ice cold Miller Lite.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be delightful. Wear your Bears gear. Let's see how many people we can pack the place with. And wear your Bears gear. If you're not a Bears fan, wear whatever team you represent. That's fine, too.
That's fair.
Let's get to the good, the bad, the dirty.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
The good, the bad, the dirty is brought to you by our great friends and partners at Window Nation. Call my guys at Window Nation today. Buy two windows, get two free. No payments of any kind for the next couple of years. 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION, or visit windownation.com. Spin around the room. One thing good, one thing bad, one thing
Let's
dirty.
Let's do it.
What's your good?
We haven't mentioned really the White Sox, other than Big Cat saying that they're torturing their fan base. But Lance Lynn's performance yesterday, 7 innings, 3 hits. One unearned run, walked one, struck out 11. Now, look, this team is going to do the unthinkable. I guess it is thinkable because they play. Can we stop with, you know, remember when someone called one time and chastised either me or both of us for suggesting that the AL Central was the worst division in baseball? Can that go away?
I forget what was the take. It was between the NL Central and AL Central, and
I believe so. Isn't St. Louis 20 games over 500 or somewhere close to that?
Yes, like the top, and they've gone on a recent run,
too. At the time, they were both like 10 games over, too.
I would suggest to you that the AL Central has reached the finish line in the worst division in baseball contest in the race. Anyway, if they are going to make any noise, obviously you got Dylan Cease. Johnny Cueto's been fabulous, but it would help a lot if Lance Lynn could continue this trend.
We haven't seen that yet this year.
My good is the performance of Lance Lynn.
What about Lance Lynn, coming out against the Twins? Top step of the dugout, leading the charge as the bench is cleared. You're not going to mess with the big bastard, are you?
I'm not. I thought it was misplaced anger because the last thing the Twins wanted to do at that time was hit another White Sox batter.
Do you think it was calculated?
I do think it's possible because Jorge Lopez wanted to set up the double play.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think that.
Well, I think it was a calculated move by Lance Lynn to clear the benches too, to get in the head of the closer with the bases loaded and one out.
I don't think that they think that far ahead. I think
he looked menacing, though.
Yeah, he did.
He looked menacing.
Just thought it was a little bit, it was misplaced, anger, considering the last thing the Twins wanted to do. Wasn't that the second hitter in a row that he hit? Like, you could have had a double play prior to hitting this guy, because there was already at least one on base.
If you were going to put him on base, you just intentionally walked.
Of course.
Or you can hit him. If you're
send a message.
Yes. Sending a message.
My good is the college football. We talked about this game. I mean, I know it was sloppy and it had two not so good teams, but the last few minutes, and Mallor put this together, this was the last few minutes of that delightful LSU Florida State game.
First three and out for Florida State tonight. LSU defense did their job when they had to do it. Fair catch is muffed again. Can you believe this? Malik Nabers, second time tonight, and Florida State recovers.
It's just one of those crazy things that always fumble
here down to goal line. Is there a chance LSU has come up with it as Ward fumbled the ball?
You love chaos, don't you?
I love chaos.
This LSU wasn't says good they
have it. LSU does. Here we go. Clock ticking down. Daniels taking time. Remember, no timeouts. Here is the freshman inside the 5. 1 second remains. Let's decide it. Right here in New Orleans. Jaden Daniels. To the end zone. Got it. Jerome Jenkins. My, what a night in New Orleans. To send us to overtime. It is blocked!
Delicious on ESPN. Was that ABC? I forget which one it was on. But and in any effect, it doesn't have to be a beauty contest. Football is back. And it was total chaos. Think about how unlikable. Another muffed punt. A fumble that late in the game. Going down 99 yards with that little time. With 1 second left on the clock to hit the touchdown. And then to blow the extra point. That's beautiful.
The big play,
that's great.
The big play made by tight end Mason Taylor.
Yeah.
Son of Jason Taylor. It's Jason and Mason.
Oh.
Father, son.
Very cool.
Yes.
What do you got, Miller? What's your good?
My good occurred in the White Sox postgame show on NBC Sports Chicago right after the Friday night Lance Lynn dust up. I thought it was interesting to hear Frank Thomas, White Sox legend and Hall of Famer, give us this nugget, which I think a lot of people, a lot of White Sox fans in particular, would agree with.
But I'll be honest with you. You can tell the difference. Tony's one hell of a manager, but over the last 3 days with him not being here, you can see something different is going on. Mm-hmm. These guys are playing hard and hungry. You just see there's energy off that bench. Guys are standing, yelling at each other, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's something different that's going on right now.
How about that? Interesting.
Right.
And then, sure enough, they won another couple games over the last three games. So
it doesn't mean that they're going to rattle off and finish the job. We've known this for 2 years, that it wasn't the right fit. And to see a team playing a little looser, a little freer, is no shock.
I said it months ago, there's no other team in Major League Baseball that had the expectation level or expectations that the Sox had that was underachieving as consistently as they were, and making these basic mistakes that would have kept their manager. There's only one. Only one team in baseball. It was the White Sox.
They still can't hit a cutoff man.
No, they can't.
I mean, it's really unbelievable. What do you got, Tyler? What's your good?
My good is the fourth quarter of the North Carolina Appalachian State game. I don't know if you guys saw the box score of it. This is just the fourth quarter alone. App State outscores UNC 40-22 in one quarter of football there.
It was crazy.
It was back and forth. App State came down to try to do the go-ahead two-point conversion, and they missed it on a wide-open play. Then they onside kick. Carolina returns the onside kick for a touchdown. So it's an 8-point game. App State has the ball with 28 seconds left. They get the touchdown. They have to go for two down, two at this point. They miss it, but it was a great fourth quarter.
The whole game was like incredible.
Love the football.
A lot of offense there.
A lot of offense.
Love it. Made up for the Boston College and Iowa games.
Yeah, well, my bad is actually the Iowa-South Dakota State game. Like, that was the antithesis of what you just heard Tyler describe. Offensively, Iowa and South Dakota State combined for 286 total yards, two field goals. It set offensive football back decades.
Yeah.
It was horrible. It was awful. It was more than bad.
For sure. You could play the highlight here of Cease, like, and we could cut it off early. Like, I felt terrible for Dylan Cease. He's been so good, maybe now the front runner for the Cy Young, but to lose the no-hitter with two outs on your home field, ugh, bad.
Two down, and it'll be Cease versus Arise. Are you ready?
I'm ready. This, I mean, if you're ever going to earn a no-hitter, why not make it the league's leading batter that you have to beat?
I agree. To be the best, you've got to beat the best. And so far, Dylan has kept them to an 0-for-3. 13-0, two outs, ninth inning. The 1-1 serve. Swinging a base hit out into right center.
The worst.
Arise breaks up the no-no.
You could fade it down there. That's bad. I was unaware of this until the next day I was reading on Twitter. The media was asking Miguel Cairo if he thought about walking Arise. And then my mom mentioned this to me yesterday, too. They were asking me about what the right move was. And I guess A.J. Pierzynski in the booth mentioned it never would have crossed my mind. In a 13-0 game with two outs in the ninth, I'm not saying one way or another it would make the no-hitter less if they would have walked him, but I'm with Len and DJ there. Like, get a rise out. And I'm sure Cease would say the same thing,
yeah.
No?
Yeah, I think he
would,
too.
Were you guys surprised that this was a debate?
You know what? I'll jump in and make this. I'll co-sign it with you, Sylvie, but I'll make this my bad. The part is, A.J. Pierzynski on Fox on Saturday night.
Right.
Was first guessing. And
right.
He was pointing out.
He said, I would put him on.
Well, no. He said, I would not give him anything to hit. Don't throw him a strike. Don't let him be the guy who breaks up the no-hitter when he is obviously the best hitter in the American League with, you know, who's leading the league in
hitting. Make him chase.
Yeah. Don't throw him a strike. And so I think A.J. Pierzynski's analysis really did fuel that line of questioning. And I tend to agree. When Cease was as dominant as he was, and then he does throw him a pitch over the heart of the plate, yeah, I can question that a little bit. I do think AJ's first guessing was accurate there.
I never cried. Yeah,
it wouldn't have crossed my mind.
Yeah, would not have crossed my mind. What do you guys have? So you co-signed the bad.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Well, yes.
Tyler, what do you got for your bad?
My bad is the Oregon Ducks. I mean, they didn't even get off the bus in that game against Georgia. Georgia probably had the most dominant performance of any of the top teams in college football.
I could not believe it. And, like, everyone kept saying that, right, that Georgia was not as good.
Well, they look good against Oregon last
year.
They
look even better than last year.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I know. Incredible. What's your dirty?
My dirty, real quick, was the beat that you took gambling, if in fact you had the over in that LSU Florida State game. All you had to do was get that extra point kicked, and then it was a guarantee over. There'll be plenty of beats like that, but to start the college football gambling season, that was kind of dirty.
It's a good, hearty welcome back.
Yes, hey.
Welcome back. Football gambling. Yes. I was sent this. I forgot who sent the tweet originally. This was RG3 in the Michigan game, and there's some context behind it, too. And I'm like, RG3, new to the broadcasting, really is going to go a little blue here. This is amazing, but maybe this was, could this have been the best line of the weekend? Take a listen.
And you're going to see they bring in the big quarterback. He makes the read, and what do you know, guys? It's an orgy in the end zone.
So during the call, he's making an orgy reference, but it turns out there's a player on Michigan whose name is Orgy, O-R-J-Y.
Freshman, Alex Orgy.
So how do we feel about this line? Pretty creative, yes?
Totally cool with it.
I think totally awesome is more like it. It's dirty, but I think dirty good. He was just all of a sudden making an orgy reference.
I got a two-prong dirty for you, gentlemen. It was dirty that we did see our last professional match from Serena Williams on Friday. It was captivating. I was right there. I know Sylvie was tweeting a lot about it. Yeah. I was watching live. It was awesome.
When Sylvie tweets tennis, it is. Yeah. You know that it's a big event.
It's a big event.
So it's dirty that was our last watching of Serena. But then also, how about Margaret Court coming in, flying after Serena, saying she's not getting enough respect for the 25 majors that she's won in her career. I just love the fact
she's 80.
I love the fact that we've got old school athletes in tennis upset that they're not getting enough respect, saying that today's athlete is soft.
I respected her. I don't think she's ever respected me. And I'm 80.
To Steffi Graf. We'll go to Steffi Graf for a comment.
Wrap us up, Tyler.
My dirty, if you haven't seen the video of Tim Brando during Jump Around, look it up.
What was that about?
Look it up.
It's called The Merc. He used to do that to Merc at one-on-one sports.
Oh, boy. That'll get you suspended in most places. He was going mechanical bull riding is what it looked like he was doing.
It was something. It was a delightful weekend, though, wasn't it?
Of course it was.
College football being
highlighted by the fact that you had 3 or 4 days off, most people.
Yes, of course. 312-332-3776 if you want to weigh in. I will tell you about the Bear Stadium news that came out today. I have a list at 5 I want to get to regarding who we think should get the next president's job for the Bears. It's all coming up next. Guys, I've been telling you for months about Window Nation. Window Nation installed brand new windows in my entire kitchen area. I thought it was going to be the full house, but they told me, look, a lot of good windows in your house don't need replacing. We're going to save you money here in the short term. We're going to replace what needs the replacement. Custom-made windows fit perfectly, opening and closing the windows with ease, letting the fresh air of the fall come in. It is absolutely awesome. I've known I've had to do this for 3 years, and I finally found Window Nation at windownation.com or call them at 866-90-NATION. They're a family-owned business that specializes in windows. This is not a repair service. They make and will custom make your windows. A-plus rated Better Business Bureau. 97% approval rating on all their online reviews. You got to check it out today. Right now, you buy two windows, you get two free, and you'll pay nothing through 2025. I want you to check them out. Have them over, give you an estimate. Call them, 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
We have some Bears movement to report here. The Bears...
You said a Bears movement, not a bowel movement,
no,
right?
No, Bears movement. Okay. We have some Bears movement. We were talking, a matter of fact, about an hour ago, an hour and a half ago, with Courtney about... You know, the 822 depth chart. That was the last time the Bears updated their depth chart. I think by tomorrow was the day that they had to get it in. And on Bears.com, the new depth chart is out. And we were wondering, how are they going to line up on their offensive line? Would they put Tevin Jenkins as a backup? Would they put Lucas Patrick as a starting guard?
First time I've heard that song in a while, too. I don't know why, but good. Yeah, my blood started to flow again.
It was like,
yeah, I did. I don't know why. It just caught me.
Pavlov's dog.
Yeah, I did.
You
started like,
Mars mouth started watering. Just throw me a football.
Yeah.
So how about this? I gotta say, this is a nice, no surprises here. It's a good thing. Braxton Jones at left tackle. Cody Whitehair at left guard. Lucas Patrick, your starting center. Tevin Jenkins, your starting right guard. Larry Borum, your starting right tackle. That's how they line up across the offensive line. They've got Sam Mustipher listed as their backup center. We'll see if injury prevents Lucas Patrick from playing.
Alex Leatherwood is your backup right tackle. Riley Reiff is listed as your backup left tackle. Look, this if this group can come together over the course of time, you're playing a bunch of guys that don't have a ton of experience. Braxton Jones is a rookie, fifth-round pick out of, Southern Utah as your starting left tackle. Mm-hmm. They obviously like him. Larry Borum is a second-year fifth-round pick. He's your right tackle. Tevin Jenkins kicked into guard. We're very excited about their willingness to want to build with these young guys.
Right.
There's a lot of inexperience on that offensive line.
Right. If they're inexperienced, but if they
can learn on the job.
If this could be a starting point and they could actually grow. Like a lot of people said, I would be really upset if they showed me that they weren't going to try Tevin Jenkins as starting.
Right.
Now, look, something may change. Maybe they'll announce something different or may, I don't know what kind of games they could play with depth charts or not. But that's the way they list it for what it's worth as of today, September 6th.
They are obviously taking the long game approach. They really are. And I don't have a problem with it. Looking to build with these young guys.
Do the two starting wide receivers, Mooney doesn't surprise you.
No.
But does Equanimeous St. Brown surprise you as the other starting wide receiver?
Not really, because Byron Pringle has been out with injury. I think ultimately, at the end of the day, that's Byron Pringle's job. I think if they come out a three wide receiver set, you're probably going to see Mooney, Equanimeous St. Brown, and Velus Jones. Like if they come out a three wide receiver set instead of like they've listed a running back and a fullback. If they come out a three wide receiver set, I would think Velus Jones is going to be in the lineup.
Pettis is your third string wide receiver.
He is. The other thing that you notice is I believe if I counted correctly, there's 15 rookies that are on this roster right now.
I
can't imagine that there's another team in the NFL that has 15 rookies on their 53-man roster.
Build me a football team.
Yeah.
Build me a core. Build me a foundation. I'm good with it. I hope they're good. If they're good, we got something.
Yes. I'm with you.
Let's continue the conversation. If you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776. The depth chart just came out. Want to give you our list. I put a top five list. I think we all know who would be number one. Ted Phillips, we found out going into the weekend that he is retiring. Dan Pompey had that story. And it's going to be interesting to see who they hire as their next team president. There are already some good rumor names out there. Give you our five coming up. And if Waddle wants to add any. And some of the stadium news. 312-332-3776.